إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We would like to continue with the study of the hadith from Umdat al-Ahkam, based on the explanation or the sharh of Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih Ali Bassam in his book entitled Tafsir al-Allam Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam. And we are now in the book of Salat, Kitab al-Salat, under the chapter heading of Al-Imama. But before discussing the hadith of Al-Imama concerning the role of Imam and those who are following him, quickly inshallah we will just review the hadith of the previous subtitle entitled Bab As-Sufuf, As-Sufuf, or the lining up or making the lines for the Salat. The first hadith we took from Bab As-Sufuf is hadith number 68 on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, سووا صفوفكم, make your rows or your lines for the prayer straight and even. فإن تسوية الصفوف, for verily making the lines straight and even, من تمام الصلاة, is from the perfection or the completion of the salat. يعني making the lines even and straight and closing the spaces in between the people who are praying. This تصوير الصفوف, it is part of the perfection or completion of the salat. The Shaykh mentions concerning this hadith a number of rulings or ahkam or benefits. The first of them is that it is legislated in Islam according to the Sharia that we should make the lines straight and even for salat. Making those who are lining up for the prayer as one straight line, without anyone stepping forward or anyone stepping back. No one should be ahead of the others nor behind them, but everyone should be even on one straight line. The second principle or point or ruling that is derived from this hadith is that making the line straight, at-taswiya, or the making of the line straight and even, is a cause or a reason for the completion or the perfection of the prayer. And if we want to make our prayers complete and perfect, then one of the ways to make them complete is by making the lines straight and even. For this reason, it is considered to be mustahab, beloved or commendable, to make the lines straight. And this is the madhhab or the opinion or position of the jamhur, the majority of scholars. Some of the scholars said that making the line straight is wajib, obligatory, not mustahab, but wajib. And they held this opinion based on the hadith, the following hadith after this one, in which it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, make your lines straight either you will make your line straight or Allah will cause dissension between you, or He will cause some change in the faces of the people. Based on this stern statement from the Prophet ﷺ, they understood then that it is obligatory, wajib, to make the lines straight. Also from this hadith, it is understood that it is makruh or detestable. It is something disliked or hated to allow the lines to be crooked. And that allowing the lines to be crooked is an indication of imperfection or incompleteness of the salat. That it is makruh for the lines to be crooked. Number four, the superiority or the virtues of salat in jama'ah, in congregation, is also indicated in this hadith due to the fact that the reward which one achieves for straightening the lines, that reward is only achieved due to the fact that we are praying in jama'ah. If we were not praying in jama'ah, there would be no chance for us to get the reward of straightening the lines. So straightening the lines is a rewardable act, but that rewardable act is only achieved due to the fact that we are praying in jama'ah. So this is also an indication that the prayer in jama'ah is a virtuous act. And based on the reward that we receive when we straighten our lines while we are praying in jama'ah. Number five, the last point, he says that the hikmah or the wisdom for the command to straighten the lines, it is so that we would be in agreement and conformity with the manner in which the angels line up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is based on the hadith reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to us and he said, do you not, or will you not, make your line straight as the angels make their line straight in front of their Lord? And will you not imitate the angels and make your line straight as the angels make their line straight in front of their Lord, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We said, O Messenger of Allah, how do the angels make their line straight in front of their Lord? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, complete the lines, the first ones first, and also close the spaces between those who are standing in the same line. And you complete every line. No, a new line shouldn't be started until the line in front of it is completed. When it is completed, a new line may be started. That's the first thing, completing the lines, and the second thing is closing the spaces between the people who are praying in the same line. The second hadith is hadith number 69, the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu. He said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, لا تسنون صفوفكم أو لا يخالفن الله بين وجوهكم. But definitely you must make your lines straight. If not, then Allah will cause disfigurance, or would disfigure your faces, or cause any confusion, disunity, or disruption amongst the people. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and in one of the narrations reported by Imam Muslim, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to straighten the lines until it was as though he was trying to make the lines so straight and perfect that he could straighten the arrow that is carved from wood, that he could straighten that arrow from the line of the people who were lining up for prayer. This was so until he, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw that we understood from him what was required and that we were doing it without him requesting it anymore. Then one day he came out and he stood up and he was about to make the takbir, he was about to start the prayer by saying Allahu Akbar, and he saw a man badiyan sadruhu, يعني, with his chest sticking out, and he was protruding or stepping a little forward in front of the rest of the people in the line. And at that time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O servants of Allah, you must certainly make your lines straight, or if not, then Allah will cause disfigurement of your faces or cause confusion or disruption between you. From this hadith, the Shaykh mentions also 5 points. The first of them is that the apparent meaning of the hadith, or what we understand from the text or the literal wording of the hadith, we understand that it is wajib. And from the literal meaning of this hadith, we understand that it is wajib to straighten the lines, and that it is haram or prohibited to make the lines crooked. And this is due to the severe or serious threat contained in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you must either make your lines straight or Allah will cause disfigurement of your faces or confusion between you. Here the Shaykh says, this is what you would understand from the literal meaning of the hadith, but there are some other authentic hadith which, if taken into consideration, seem to reduce the severity of the threat in this hadith, and also seem to transform the command in this hadith from being wajib to istihbab or mustahab, yani that it is mustahab to straighten the lines, and that it is makruh or disgusting or distasteful or hated, seriously, yani distasteful, that we allow the lines to be crooked. This is based on another hadith, yani we understand that the command to straighten the lines is not wajib, but a little less than wajib, it's mustahab, based on the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ تَسْوِيَةُ الصُّفُوفُ مِنْ تَمَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, يعني that verily making the lines straight is part of the perfection of the salat, which we can understand from that the salat would not be invalid, but it would not be perfect. That means that it's not absolutely obligatory, but if we don't do it, then we lose something of the perfection or completeness of the salat, and this leads us, yani, to the ruling that the straightening of the lines is mustahab, yani that it's highly recommended and encouraged and beloved, but not necessarily wajib, according to the two opinions. The second point, he said, the attention and care that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to establishing the lines and making them straight. He himself used to take the responsibility to straighten the lines with his own hands, and this is an indication that straightening of the lines is the responsibility or the job of the Imam. Straightening the lines is the responsibility of the Imam. The third point is the general rule the Shaykh mentions, أن الجزاء من جنس العمل, that the reward or recompense for something is like the action that the one does. It is similar to it. And this is understood from the fact that Allah has threatened those who fail to make the line straight. He threatens to also make difference between them, yani between those people, or to disfigure their faces. And this is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, yani is there any reward for al-ihsan, for goodness? Is there any reward for it except goodness? And the fourth point, the Shaykh mentions the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he saw the lions in disarray. This indicates that we are warned, yani, from doing such a thing if it provoked the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then it is a warning from us from committing such an act. And the last point, he says, that in this hadith we also find the permissibility or an indication of the permissibility of the imam speaking after the iqamah has been pronounced. Between the iqamah and the actual beginning of the salat, it's permissible for the imam to speak if there's a need for such. If there's a need for him to speak, as did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the iqamah had been pronounced and he was about to make the takbir and he noticed that someone was protruding their chest, so he spoke and talked to the people and addressed them in order to correct the problem. If there's a need for the imam to speak after the iqamah, it is permissible. The next hadith, hadith number 70, is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that his grandmother, but not the grandmother of Anas, but the grandmother of the narrator from Anas, Ishaq ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Talha, his grandmother, the mother of Anas, Mulaika radiallahu anha, she invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some food which she had prepared for him, and he ate from it, and then he said, "Qumu la usalli bikum." Stand, he told Anas and the orphan boy who was with him, stand up and I will lead you in prayer. And then Anas radiallahu anhu said, I stood up and went to a mat that I had, that we had in the house, which had become blackened from its long use or from sitting for a long time, and he sprinkled some, or I sprinkled some water on it, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, and Anas said that I and the orphan boy prayed, we made a line behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the elderly woman, that is the grandmother of Ishaq and the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu, she stood behind the boys, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in 2 rak'ah, and then we left. In the narration of Imam Muslim, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led Anas radiallahu anhu in prayer, and also his mother, and he said that he stood me on his right side, and the woman, she stood behind us. And in the narration of Al-Bukhari from Anas, he said, I and an orphan boy prayed in my house behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my mother, Sulaim radiallahu anha, was behind us. From this hadith and the various narrations of this hadith, there are a number of points which the Shaykh mentions, but before that there is a point of difference of opinion. The point of difference of opinion is the correctness of making a line with a young boy, sabi, that has not yet reached the age of puberty. The position of the jamhur or majority of scholars is that it is correct to make a line with a small boy in both types of salat, the obligatory as well as the voluntary, that it's permissible that someone may make a line with one person, and that one person is a child, a small boy who hasn't reached puberty. And they use as proof of their opinion the authentic hadith that has been mentioned here, which we just mentioned. Since Anas radiallahu anhu described his companion or the boy who was with him as yateen, and as we said, the definition in Arabic language and in the Sharia of yateen, it means a person whose father has died before they reach the age of puberty. This is an indication that the boy who was praying with Anas had not yet reached puberty, and Anas made a line with him, which shows the permissibility of making a line with one person, even if that one person is a child who hasn't reached puberty. The second opinion is the opinion of the Hanabila, or the people of the madhab of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, and that is that it is correct to make a line with a small boy in the nafil prayer or voluntary prayers only, not in the obligatory prayers. And they also use this same hadith as a proof, because obviously this hadith, the prayer that was performed was not an obligatory prayer, it was a voluntary prayer. So they said that it's permissible in the voluntary prayers, but not otherwise, not in the obligatory prayers. And we already mentioned in the beginning of this chapter that the rulings or regulations or guidelines for salat are general, for all types of salat, unless there is a particular dalil or proof or evidence showing otherwise. Excluding a particular ruling. Otherwise, the rulings for salat are general, for obligatory prayers as well as voluntary prayers, and we apply that principle to this particular ruling, that the ruling is general for both obligatory as well as voluntary, unless there's a proof which shows that this ruling is only applicable to voluntary prayers. Otherwise, if there's no such proof, then it can be applicable to any type of prayer, whether obligatory or voluntary. Here the Shaykh says that the correct opinion is the opinion of the Jamhur, and it is also the opinion of some of the scholars from the Hanbali Mazhab, including Ibn Aqil and Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah. From this hadith, he mentions a number of rulings. The first of them is that it is correct to make a line in Salat with a child that hasn't reached puberty. Number two, that it is preferable for the one who is following the Imam, that person should stand behind the Imam. And that the people who are following the Imam, they should stand behind him. As for the women, the position of the women is behind the men. And the first row should be for the males, and the second row should be for the... And if there are many more rows, then the first rows should be for the men, and the last rows should be for the women, as indicated in other hadith which we mentioned previously. Also, from this hadith, we understand that it is correct for a woman to make a line by herself, alone. If there are no other women, she may line up behind the men. As a single individual, she may make a line alone. Although the general ruling is that no one should make a line, should stand in a line alone, but in that case, if there is no other women, she may line up alone, as did Sulaim radiallahu anha, the mother of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. But if there are more women, then they must make a line and stand together in a line. And the next point he mentions is the permissibility of performing a voluntary prayer in congregation as a group, even though congregational prayer hasn't been legislated for nawafil, voluntary prayers. Congregational prayer hasn't been legislated for it, and the Prophet ﷺ didn't ordinarily do it. But even if he did it on one occasion, it shows that it's permissible. If he did it even only one time, it shows that it's permissible. Though it's not necessarily legislated that when you pray nawafil prayer, you should make a jama'ah. No, normally, nawafil prayer, you should pray alone. But if on any occasion people came together and they wanted to pray nawafil, purely voluntary prayer, and if they joined together in a group and had one person as the imam, there's no harm in it. It's permissible. Also, the permissibility of performing salat with the intention of teaching or for any other religious or beneficial reason. It's permissible to perform salat with the intention of teaching the people or for some other beneficial reason. As the Prophet ﷺ apparently did in this hadith, to teach those young boys some things concerning the salat, as the Shaykh mentioned in his explanation of the hadith. The next point, he says, this hadith also indicates the humility of the Prophet ﷺ, the humility, that he was very humble. And this was a great characteristic of the Prophet ﷺ, and it is a characteristic that the Muslims in general should try to emulate or imitate. Humility, tawadhu. Also, in this hadith, we understand that it is mustahab, commendable or beloved, to answer the invitation when someone invites you. Especially if answering the invitation brings about some good, or causes tranquility or peace in their hearts or happiness for the people, it's good to answer the invitations of the people. It's mustahab. unless it is the walima or marriage. In that case, the marriage celebration, it is obligatory to respond to that call, unless you are unable to respond to it. And the invitation for the marriage celebration is obligatory on a Muslim to respond to it. Other invitations, it's mustahab, it's recommended, it's beloved, but it's not obligatory. The next hadith, hadith number 71, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that he spent the night with his aunt Maymuna radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to perform the night prayer, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, I stood up on his left side, فَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِي فَأَقَامَنِي عَنْ يَمِينِي. Then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him by his head and pulled him around to his right side. Actually in the hadith in Bukhari, the wording is a little different than I just read it from the book, but actually in Bukhari the words are added that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to perform the night prayer, and I stood up to pray with him. Then I stood up on his left side, and he took me by my head and stood me on the right side. Concerning this hadith, there are a number of points derived from it, and also there is a point of difference of opinion. Concerning the difference of opinion, the well-known opinion of the madhab of Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah is that the salat of a follower who stands on the left side of the imam while there is space on the right side, while he could have stood on the right side, if he stands on the left side, his salat is invalidated. The salat is invalidated. This is the opinion of the famous or well-known opinion of Imam Ahmed. That if the person who could have stood on the right of the imam stands on the left instead, then that prayer is invalid. The second opinion, which is the opinion of the jamhur or majority of scholars, including Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Malik, and Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy on all of them, their opinion is that the salat is correct, it's acceptable. Even though the person who stood on the left side could have stood on the right side, the right space, right side was open, the space was there, but they stood on the left side, they said that the prayer is still correct and acceptable. And there's also a report from Imam Ahmed, yani, that it has also been reported from him that he agreed with this opinion of the other imams. And some of his students or the imams from the madhab of Imam Ahmed also held this opinion. And this opinion is based on this hadith, which we have just mentioned, and its indication, the indication or the proof of this opinion in this hadith is very clear. Because of the fact that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he stood on the left side and he prayed part of the prayer on the left side, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him and pulled him to the right side, but he didn't invalidate the part of the prayer that he prayed in the wrong place. And that proves that the prayer, even in the wrong place, though it is less rewardable or less complete or perfect, still it is acceptable and not invalidated. All of the scholars, he says here, agree by ijma that the preferable position for the follower, if they are alone, if there are no other people following the imam, only one person, the preferable position is to stand on the right. The difference of opinion is not concerning whether or not it is preferable, but the difference of opinion is concerning whether or not if someone prays on the left side, the prayer is still accepted or it's invalid. In the opinion of the jamhur or majority of scholars, and the correct opinion is that the prayer is valid, though it's preferable to stand and more rewardable to stand on the right side. From this hadith, the Shaykh mentions first that it is afdal or preferable for the ma'moon, the one who is following the imam, to stand on the right of the imam if that person is alone. That it is preferable. Number two, that it is correct and acceptable if the ma'moon, the one who is following the imam, stands even on the left of the imam while the right is open or free. since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not invalidate the salat of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma while he had prayed part of his prayer, at least the beginning of it, on the left side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three, that the ma'amun, the follower who is alone, if they stood on the left side of the imam and then they realized their mistake or they were corrected and they came to the right side of the imam, they should come behind the imam and not in front of the imam, as has been indicated in some authentic hadith, including that which has been reported by al-Bukhari, that the one who stands on the left of the imam, if they correct themselves, they should come from behind the imam to his right side and not from in front of the imam. Number four, that any action which someone does in the salat, if it was necessary for the correction of the salat, then there is no harm in doing that action. Whether movement, walking, turning, any action or movement in the salat, if it is done to correct the salat or for the correctness of the salat, then there is no harm in it. Also from this hadith, we understand that it is acceptable and correct to make a line with a small child. Yani an adult and a small child may stand together and make a line if there are no other people with them. Also, that it is legislated in Islam to make Salatul Layl, the night prayer, is legislated, and that it is mustahab, it is commendable or recommended or beloved. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up in the night in the house of Maymuna and performed the night prayer, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu performed it with him. Number seven, the eagerness and the effort that was made by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to achieve or to seek knowledge and then to implement or practice that knowledge. He went out of his way to watch the Prophet and sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to spend time with him, even to the extent that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up in the night to pray, Ibn Abbas was watching him and woke up or prayed with him, performed the prayer with him, to know what he is doing in the night and also to join him in it, not just to know about it but also to participate in it. And finally he said that it is not a precondition, it is not a shart for the correctness of the position of imam that he intend to be the imam before he enters the salat. Yani if someone didn't intend to be the imam, they intended to pray alone, and then someone or some people came behind them and joined them in the prayer and made them the imam, the prayer or the imama of that person is correct and it is acceptable, even though when they entered the prayer they didn't have intention to be imam. And if the intention to be imam is not necessarily a precondition, if the person entered the prayer as a praying alone and then someone joined them and they became the imam, then it is acceptable and correct, there is no harm in such. Okay, the hadith for this evening under the chapter Bab Al-Imamah. Al-Imamah. First the Shaykh makes some introductory remarks concerning Al-Imamah, or the position of Imam, or the role of Imam, and those who follow the Imam. He said that in this chapter or this sub-chapter, some of the behavior or the manners of the imam and the ma'amum and the one who is following the imam are mentioned, and what is obligatory for each of them, the imam and the ma'amum, what is obligatory upon them and what is mustahab or commendable for them are mentioned under this chapter Al-Imamah. And also it shows the relationship in this chapter. There's some indication or some points related to the relationship between the two of them, the imam and those who are following him. Al-imamah, or imamship, or the role of imam in Islam, is a divine system that has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has guided us to it by his revelation and by the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are some goals, some lofty goals to be achieved from the imamah, and some objectives, and from amongst them is obedience, also following leadership, especially training for obedience and following the leadership in jihad, and organization and establishing systems. Particularly, this is useful in military activities. Also here, in this chapter, there's some indication of where the young person should stand with the older person, and shows that the young as well as the old, the rich as well as the poor, the noble and others, all of them, يعني, are equal in standing in the salat, in ranks or in rows.